Bandwidth for the Frog Pants Studios network provided by Z Hosting at zhosting.com, providing reliable and affordable web solutions to everyone.
You are listening to App Slappy Podcast with Scott and Eric.
Attention.
Scott and Eric.
No.
Derp. Hey everybody, welcome back to App Slappy. This is App Slappy episode 66, the podcast for App Store addicts covering all the hot apps for your iOS device. I'm Scott.
And I'm Eric.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. And we're thrilled to be here. It is Tuesday, November 2nd, 2010. And it's time for a show, dude. Good stuff to talk about. How was your Halloween real quick?
It was very good.
Yeah.
Took the kids out trick-or-treating.
Did you use any apps for your trick-or-treating?
No.
I heard there were some cool ones you could use for like freaking people out, like loud sounds coming out of your phone and stuff like that. And
oh yeah, like sounds coming out of a phone would scare anybody.
Well, somebody maybe.
I don't know about that.
All right. Well, doesn't matter because we're here to talk about stuff that isn't Halloween related. So
how was your Halloween?
It was great. I ate a ton of candy and I wore.
You said you were eating healthy.
I have been, except for that day.
We have so much leftover candy. It's horrible.
Except here in Utah, we have Halloween. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but we have Halloween on Saturday.
I know you did.
When it lands on a Sunday, this place shuts down on Sunday and does everything on Saturday. So that's if you wanted candy, dude, that's the day you went out and got it. Saturday night.
Not here in New Jersey.
And it rained the whole time, I should mention. The next day, the real Halloween, beautiful out. Nice and warm. It's great.
Did you get any trick-or-treaters?
Yeah, we got tons Saturday night.
No, on Sunday, did you get any?
No, not one. Not a single.
Wow.
So I don't know what's going on.
I guess everybody got the memo.
Stupid Utah. All right, let's do a show. Before we get into the apps that we've been using over the week, I wanted to talk about a couple of bits of news that are kind of last-minute stuff, like breaking news here. VLC player for the iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch will be deleted from the App Store. So if you haven't gotten it, folks, get it now. It's free anyway. And if you're not familiar with VLC or Video LAN, whatever the C stands for. What's that? It was VL? Well, whatever it is. It is a VLC player app for the iPad, and the iPhone just came out recently. Less than a week ago, actually. So what happened, you ask? According to VLC's Remy Dennis Cormont, whatever.
I totally know why.
Why? What happened? What?
Well, you figured like when you're using Handbrake, right?
Yeah.
And you're ripping a DVD.
Yeah.
And you do not have VLC installed on your computer.
Yeah.
It asks you to install the VLC to do what?
To play videos?
No, to crack the copyright.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that because I don't think that's the reason.
Oh, that's not the reason.
No, well, I don't think so, but that's an interesting reason. I didn't know about what you just said, so that's interesting. But
Handbrake can't rip DVDs that have copyright protection unless you have VLC installed on the system.
I didn't know that. Is that for real?
That is for real.
Oh my gosh, that's a racket, man. Interesting. Well, all right. So let me just say this. Air Video, which I've been using a ton of on the phone and the iPad for a long, long time, lets me play any format. It's basically VLC anyway. But it lets me do it over my network, which I love. I don't have to copy files locally to the phone or the iPad. I can watch all my own ripped DVDs that I bought with my own money and put in a drive somewhere can stream over my network. And I love it. So, in other words, they're kind of circumventing things too, but Apple's not going after them or shutting them down. Here's what they say is the reason. All right. According to this developer who's on the VLC project, Apple has infringed the company's copyrights by distributing the VLC media player on the iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch via its App Store, but contradicting its GNU GPL open source terms in its product's usage rules of the App Store. So, in other words, here's the reason.
In layman's terms,
VLC is an open source program. Got it. It's freely distributed over the GNU GPL license terms of use. So anybody can get it. People can contribute to it, add to it, blah, blah, blah. Here's the problem. Apple contracts the terms by not allowing its users to install the app on more than 5 devices, which is the case with other free paid apps in the App Store as well. Apple has no other choice but to pull the app down because it doesn't comply with VLC. At least that's what this guy says in this blog, and who knows if he's right.
So they're pulling it because they can't guarantee that it'll not be installed on more than 5 devices?
Correct. That's what he's saying. Now, again, it's a...
But you think VLC is like, oh, okay. But you think they're the one who submitted the application, right?
Yeah, but this is all... Keep in mind, grain of salt. This is the opinions of... Is his name even here? Ahan Kirsch, who wrote this on Halloween Day from the website WWERY. It's I don't know if that's WWERY, but anyway, it's 3WsERY.com. Everything unofficially official is the name of the site. I don't know how much credence there is to that, but there's talk all over the place. There are articles on Engadget and other places trying to disseminate why this would be pulled. To be honest, I still don't think there's a good reason. I don't get it. Maybe your reason's the one. Totally could be.
I don't know.
So weird stuff afoot with the VLC player. And again, why that doesn't affect things like Air Video, I don't know. Maybe it's because you're copying files to the devices rather than streaming them. Maybe that's their way around it.
That's true, but it sounds like it has nothing to do with what the content you're playing, but just how many copies of the application you can install.
Yeah, something like that, according to this dude. So again, I keep saying that because I don't know.
It's funny though. It's just like, just think about it. It could be maybe it's a type of it's gonna get pulled. So people hear that. So what do? Yeah. Everybody downloads it.
Yeah.
It's a marketing scam. That's what it is.
Well, you know, we've all rushed to get it if you didn't already have it.
I'm just looking at the chat room. Everybody ran off and got it while you're talking about it.
Yeah, I already had it, so I don't know. You know what? The truth is I hardly use it because why would I use... I'm not doing a lot of movies on the run anywhere, so I don't have time for that when I'm out. So if I'm going to use the thing for movies at all, I want to stream it over my home network. I don't want to copy them to the stupid device, sync it on iTunes, and take it upstairs. Lame. I want to be able to just stream it. So that's what I do.
I haven't really used it because I'm using either Hulu or Netflix for anything I'm
that being about. That, yeah. And that being said, I love VLC for the desktop. It's great. No problems, no complaints. My Mac Mini is connected to a TV that plays there all the time. And we use VLC to open up all kinds of stuff. And so I have nothing bad to say about VLC in general. I just, the iPhone and iPad versions, if people are going to make a big stink out of this, it's not going to be because they're so tied to this app and it makes such a difference in their lives. They're going to freak out because they're going to cry censorship and that the store's locked down and that Apple's too hard on this stuff and blah, blah, blah. That's what they'll get. Anyway, moving on. Another bit of dropping news tonight. iPad owners apparently furious that Apple is turning the screen lock switch into a mute button. Did you hear about this?
I heard something about this.
This may piss you off. So one of the many changes coming to iOS 4.2, this is the first big software update for the iPad coming this month. When is that anyway? Pretty quick here.
They said November, and it is November.
They are getting flamed for this. The specific thing that is making people upset about Apple's decision is their decision to change the iPad screen orientation lock switch, which I use all the time and need bad on the right side of the device. They're turning that into a mute button, a volume mute switch, just like it is on the phone currently.
Yeah, but who cares?
Nobody.
They're gonna have a software lock just like they have with the iPhone.
I hope this is just bad rumor because right now, and I haven't read Apple's official anything, so maybe it isn't rumor. I don't know. But all I know is right now, the iPad already supports, I'm looking at it right now. If you take your iPad, let me open it real quick, and you're thinking, man, there's just too much volume, or I want to turn volume off. You hit down and hold it, and after half a second of holding it, it goes mute. That works perfectly well. If you're going to eliminate the functionality that I had with that lock switch, I'm going to have words with Apple. I don't like that one bit. People want to be able to read this thing like a book or whatever, and they want to be able to move it around and not worry about laying in bed or on the couch and have to keep reorienting the thing because they happen to be at the wrong angle.
They're not
going to
take away the lock switch.
How are they going to do it?
They're going to do a software lock.
That's lame.
That's what you think. No, they're totally not going to get rid of the
Yeah, but
the
what does
switch.
That mean? Running an app or going into settings and having to manually
do that? No, they're
going to
totally do it where you double click, like just like on the iPhone, double click, right? You swap to the left, to the right, and then you have the lock switch on the left.
But why though? Well, what I'm saying is, were people dying for a mute switch on this thing? I understand with the phone because you don't want it to ring when you're in a meeting or you don't want texting to be loud or whatever.
I don't know.
But who was sitting around going, oh, you know, man, the iPad, I can't tell you how many times I've been sitting there reading a book when suddenly all kind of noise comes out of it. It's garbage.
Yep.
I really don't understand it. I don't understand it. And you...
Yeah, they're definitely going to do a software lock, and that's what it's going to be.
I think the pressure from this is going to make them stop because people are...
Well, the good news is if they do it, people complain too much, in an update, they can go back to the way it was.
Yeah, I guess so. I just think
Apple's pretty good about listening to people.
They are, but what we all look to Apple for great leadership in design and UI.
When the iPad first came out, there was a couple of people going, well, where's the freaking mute button?
Well, yeah, but don't listen to those couple of dumb people. Those people are dumb. You know, they're just sitting around going, I don't see a mute button on here because you don't need one, you big idiot, whoever you are out there. I don't know. I would, you know what, dude? I would love to hear someone in the chat. Luthera makes a really good point. Jailbreaking your phone or jailbreaking your iPad eliminates this problem altogether. So, because no matter what they do, they'll just software fix that in an unlocked one. But I'm just saying, a company renowned for its design decisions, this seems like a weird thing to do. It's like saying, oh, I'm sorry, Eric, but that steering wheel you use to drive your car, we're going to swap that out for like a joystick. Hope you're okay with that. We're just going to do that, whether you like it or not.
Maybe it's just, you know, trying to make both operating systems on the iPhone and the iPad the same.
Lazy bums. I don't want them to be the same. I want the iPad to have its unique place in the pantheon of iOS devices.
The iOS update coming is going to turn it into the iPhone. Folders and the multitasking.
But that stuff's great. That stuff's great. We want those things.
Okay, so what are you complaining about?
I want my lock switch to keep working the way it's supposed to. You know what? Here's your answer, dude. For those people who somehow like this, I don't know who they are, but if they do, in the settings, do make a lock switch setting that lets you turn that on and work as a lock switch, or make it a mute button.
Are you saying give the people a choice?
Give the people a choice. There's plenty of examples in the settings menu for lots of choice. So if this isn't a crazy idea, if you really feel strongly about it, Apple, make the default as the lock thing and make all the goofballs that somehow think they need a mute button to go in there and change it. How about that?
There you go. Scott comes in with a great idea.
I do love my iPad, though. All right, moving on.
Yes.
Let's move on to some real stuff now. Let's talk about what's new this week. Dragon's Lair HD, $4.99. Remember this game?
Of course I do.
It's almost hard to call it a game. Interactive film, cartoon you could do stuff in.
Don Bluth, right?
Don Bluth, correct. He is Utah connection. Thank you very much.
I was waiting for that. I was like, all right.
Born and raised in Utah.
Utah.
He's living now. He's old now, but he's living in... he worked for Disney for many, many years, and... went off on his own and did stuff like Land Before Time and the Dragon's Lair games and
Secret of Nim.
Secret of Nim. What else? Some other good stuff. All Dogs Go to Heaven, I guess, was him. Other things.
Yeah, I don't know.
Titan AE. That wasn't very good. Anyway, I don't know. It was all right. I didn't hate it. He was an interesting guy. Interesting offshoot that, you know, was able to do something really cool outside of the Disney system, which was kind of unusual at the time. And he's off retiring somewhere in Ireland, I understand, because that's where his studio was. Bottom line is, he's from Utah. His game's on here. Get it for your iPad now.
Did you get the iPhone one?
No. Dude, you know how many versions of Dragon's Lair I played in my lifetime? I do not need one more.
Come on, it's on the iPad.
I've even played the DVD version where you just hit the directional buttons.
Yeah, but this would be much quicker.
It worked the same. Dude, you're forgetting that Dragon's Lair, the original Dragon's Lair in the arcade, was a LaserDisc game.
Yes, I totally remember it.
So you may as well be playing it on a remote on a TV. It's the same.
Well, this probably has more interactivity. You could actually probably touch the direction you want to go instead of doing a little...
That's a good point, maybe. Like click the thing that lights up instead of pointing toward it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's interesting. Hadn't thought of that. Maybe I'll get it now that you've said that. Eric's always changed my mind. Anyway, it is $4.99. Seems a little pricey to me to be dragging that out again for another $5, but whatever.
Tell me about it. iPad. Excuse me.
Oh, look at you. I was bored already. Can't get through the show.
No. It's the iPad. Prices are just like, yeah.
Oh, like the cost of the software? I don't know. I feel like it's equalizing some. I feel like it's getting lower. People aren't as quick to try out that $10 price tag anymore. They're kind of starting it. You know, if their iPhone version is $1, they're like $2 on the iPad now. And if it's $3 on the iPhone, it's like $6. You know, I feel like they're not being so crazy.
I did download Plants vs. Zombie for the iPad since it was on sale. So
it was $1, right?
No, for the iPad.
That's what I mean.
$4.99.
Oh, was it? $4.99. Oh, they even do it. I thought they were, that's lame.
Well, it's usually like $9.99, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I paid. So like a big dummy.
50% off. So
I bought it on launch day. Anyway, I heard an interesting conversation on Twit today. It was a rerun of Windows Weekly. They were talking about the fact that they had some publishers on, Macworld magazine publisher and some other people. And they were talking about something I hadn't ever considered. So we talked about how the iPad is supposed to be this revolution device in the world of publishing, right? So Wired Magazine and Time Magazine, all these guys have apps and newspapers do and all that. And it did seem like that to me, like that was going to be this hot new thing for this, for devices like this to do. But the problem that I'm seeing, and they brought it up, is that now you're asking these organizations that are already struggling to get the advertising dollars to justify their printing version, you're asking them to invest a bunch of money in app development, which is not cheap. I mean, on average, it's super pricey to do a good app for whatever you're doing. And make your app unique and interesting enough to have people try it. Even if it's free, they're still going to skip yours for something better. So they're being asked to, not being asked, but they're being sort of inadvertently forced into a world where they got to invest in a ton of app development and supporting that app and updating it and keeping new stuff coming and all that, in addition to all the other stuff they're doing. And they're doing it for a crowd that isn't quite ready to play, you know, to pay the same price or more money for a digital version. And that's kind of what they're having to do to justify all these costs. And they're like, that isn't helping us. What they wish Apple would do is build a unified news/article/something delivery service that would allow them to publish their content via a single point of entry. And maybe build some price stuff in there so that they could charge if they want or not or whatever. And in a way, it sounds like they're describing an RSS feed.
Yeah. You got to figure, look, I heard something or saw something somewhere where it's like actually, you know, that the whole Adobe Air publishing thing that the Wires-based magazine is using for the iPad.
Yeah.
I think that package is available to anybody to create a magazine or something like that.
So it's kind of like the Comixology/DC/Marvel/ everybody's doing it now kind of comic approach where they've got one good piece of software and everyone uses it.
Yeah, that's what the article says. Like publish your own magazine, like with the same tools as Wired type of thing. So you can figure if they have something like that, then it's just, you know, probably doesn't cost that much to get a magazine up and running. I mean, of course, it takes like manpower for design and...
Yeah, but nobody, I guess if I'm working at Life or Wired, or I guess Wired is happy to do it because they were the pilot there. But if you're somebody else and you kind of, well, I would like to really set myself apart from Wired. I don't want to look like theirs. I don't want to have the same navigation and tools. We want to do these unique things that nobody else can do because we have this particular content. Then they should be allowed to do that. But then the costs start coming in. So I don't know, man. It's just a hard thing. You're like, this great new platform for publishing. It's not like the web, though. Where
yeah, but it's kind of like you kind of have to spend money to this, you know, to increase your market share. If you want, if you're struggling, you're going to, you know, maybe this is your last ditch hope, maybe.
Maybe, or.
I don't even know how, it's interesting because I, you know, I'm not a huge magazine reader. They don't have a lot of the magazines that I like to read that are available on the iPad. I don't even know how successful it is. Have you heard anything?
No, I haven't heard anything back or any kind of statistics anybody's reporting on it, like the success of it. I don't think we're going to hear anything until this thing's at least a year old. And we're not even there yet. It's like March, right? So it hasn't been long enough, I don't think, for anybody to get any real data. I mean, you can maybe say, well, see, the problem is you can't really count that initial blast of people because you know there was a spike at the beginning of the Wired stuff. It's like, oh, look what we can do. But you can't count that. It kind of skews your numbers. I think you have to look at the long haul, and I don't think we've had enough time. But anyway, whatever. The bottom line for me is I feel like sites just need to make better browsing experiences, entities like printing, you know, companies that are traditionally print media, just give a better web experience and let us look at it on Safari. There's your universal publishing system. You know what I mean? Like, that's what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? I feel like people get so, apps. I mean, here we have a show about apps, so I know what they're saying. But they forget that we've already kind of got this tool to publish content. And it's already available on every browser, on every machine, and every device, you know, capable of running a browser. So we're all, you know, so fired up to make everything fade and look funny and do funny animations and everything. I think they've forgotten that, well, maybe your inexpensive entry into the world of digital, you know, publish content is already here and has been for 10 years. More, really. But, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. Interesting stuff afoot with that. Where were we? Oh, my gosh. Oh, that was Dragon's Lair.
Dragon's Lair HD. Publishing.
That's right.
It's
strange.
Interesting. The next app you're talking about is publishing.
Yeah, it kind of is. Well, third app, but Convert Units for Free HD. I wanted to mention that one.
Yeah, oh.
That's out now for free on the iPad download. Oh, by the way, this is iPad heavy. What's new? Because there hardly is anything in the reviews. But anyway, download the app and you can do all your kind of custom conversions. What's these millimeters to these inches? You know, and much more than that. But it's free, and I thought people might be interested in that. For all you people that don't know how many gallons are in a yard.
Somebody like you.
Someone like me. And then finally, Life magazine for the iPad is free, and it is not what you think it is. It is not the magazine so much as it is the collective photographic and some graphical art collection of what Life has done over the many, many years. And it's great. I'll talk about it in reviews more, but
Sounds really cool.
It's pretty awesome. I mean, Life's, you know, famous.
Life's been around for a long time.
Yeah, and their photography is, you know, they've won Pulitzers and things. I mean, it's a big deal. So if you're into
been around longer than we have.
There's some crazy Hitler stuff in there that people should see. Yabar! All right. Should we do reviews?
Let's do them.
We're just cooking along, dude. Tearing it up. I got to find my reviews thing. There it is.
Reviews.
Reviews. Reviews. Let's talk about reviews and stuff we've been using on the iPhone this week. I mentioned last week that I was really dying to get my teeth into Game Dev Story. Everybody's been recommending it, and I can't stop hearing about it online. Twitter is a Twitter with it. Game Dev Story, $3.99 for the iPhone. It is a video game along the lines of, say, I don't know, like tycoon games where you're, you know, running a company or a, not really like Sims, but more broad. It's Roller Coaster Tycoon, those games. You know, I'm trying to think of some others. My brain just went dead. Hospital Tycoon. There's a bunch of stuff like that. Railroad Tycoon, where you're just sort of running the business and deciding how things are going to go and whatever, whatever. Game Dev Story is that, but it's about developing video games in a fake little world of video game business where you're making games for consoles that are out and new consoles that are being released and PCs and different genres. And you're also subbing out work to earn extra money to other game companies who need, you know, a little bit of music or art direction or something. And that's essentially it. It's addicting as hell. I'm not nearly far enough into it to give it a full review, but I can say pretty safely right up front, it was totally worth $4, and it's incredibly addicting. It's totally just one more time-ish. And you can't stop playing it. It's great.
Yeah, the thing. Yeah, the price is a little pricey, I'd have to say.
I agree.
$4 for an iPhone game.
I think it's worth it. It is pricey, though. You're right. It's high.
It's for an iPhone game. It's very pricey. But like, I started playing it, and I was like, what? Yeah. What's the big deal about this? And all of a sudden, it just sucks you in. And I'm like, holy crap. Let me develop another game. And, you know, and it's just totally the one more thing you're talking about. And it's addicting, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
Isn't that and crazy? It's not like it's action packed or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's just you're watching like an office developing games, or you're training them and you're hiring and you're like doing contract work for sound design. And it's just, I don't know why it's addicting though.
I don't either. And it's the most, graphically speaking, it's the most like bland 8-bit looking thing ever. The menus aren't even that great. They're kind of
repetitive, annoying music.
Yeah, but then it's just, I can't just stop.
I don't know what it is.
I love it.
It like has every aspect of developing a game. Like you have to write up a proposal, you know, an idea for a game. You got to decide what kind of game it is. Is it going to be a shooter? Is it going to be action? You have to train your employees and like different like skills, like art and music, and
you got to spend money to advertise, and you got to decide what venue to advertise in. There's like Metascore type stuff.
I don't know if you got to the point where some company released a new console.
Yeah, that was called the Sony or the Sunny.
Is Senega or something like that?
It was the Senega Exodus.
Something like that. I couldn't afford the license for it yet when it came out.
Yeah, it was like $300,000 or something. And
anyway, check it out.
It's awesome.
It's fun. Yeah. I don't know why.
I don't either. I it's really hard to put my finger on it, but whatever primal game theory they've tapped into, it's working. So good on those guys. It is the kind of game I do wish was on the iPad. I need bigger. I wish it was bigger.
Yeah.
A lot of little tiny menus, but other than that, it's awesome. So get it and play it. If you have $4 just sitting around, we'll give that one a slappy.
Slappy.
Moving on to Phoenix, another game for the iPhone, 99 cents. It is a, what would you call this? Bullet hell shooter. Not unlike millions of others. It's, you know, tons of bullets coming at you, you know, forward scrolling, move your dude around with your finger, shoot stuff that's in your way, kind of auto shoots. So you don't have to worry about buttons. It's in the long line history view of the world from the point of view of this genre. There's tons of them. They all look kind of the same, blah, blah, blah. All of that's true. What makes this unique is this game is generated randomly every time you play. So it is never the same run twice ever. Never the same sequence of bosses. Never the same sequence of dude you fight. Always different, always mixed up. And that alone is enough for me to recommend it. I like it a lot. And I'm not even a huge fan of the genre so much, but I like the randomization. It's what I love about Diablo 2. It's what I love about a lot of games that effectively use randomization to make the game fresh every time you play it. And this is a great example of that. So I'm going to recommend it at $1. Did you have a chance to mess around with Phoenix?
I did not have a chance to play it.
All right, no worries. Phoenix, 99 cents, pretty good deal for anybody out there at all interested in a bullet hell shooter. And I'm calling it that because that's literally what they're called. And it's tons of bullets, and it's crazy, and it's hard, but it's random. And the random makes it awesome. Okay. What else? Oh, SpongeBob, Marbles and Slides. Yeah, I know. It sounds stupid. $2.99. I'm not really a fan of, you know, this kind of stuff normally. Like a network or somebody's producing a game. We should have an iPhone game to help promote the show. I think that kind of stuff usually sucks. But this caught my eye because, A, I'm kind of a SpongeBob fan, and B, the gameplay as described in the iTunes listing sounded kind of fun, and it sounded along the lines of the stuff I've been enjoying about Fragger, Angry Birds to some degree, but it's, you know, puzzle-based, physics-based stuff, which is real big on the iPhone generally. And by the way, Ragdoll 2 is free right now. I think it may almost not be free anymore. So people in the chat room, if you haven't gotten it, maybe you go get it. Anyway. Did I mention we have a chat room?
Yes, we do.
We do. Hello, people.
They're all screaming derp right now.
Oh, they are. That's true. Derp right back at you. Anyway, so my point was SpongeBob, Marbles and Slides. It's a physics-based challenge where you're trying to get a bunch of balls with SpongeBob's face on them into a bucket or a hole somewhere. And there's lots of crazy stuff you have to do, like press a switch before you do that. You have to draw lines to get them to go where they want to go so they don't fall out of the space. And there's only so much length you can draw with your lines before you run out. So you have to be careful. It is a kind of a, it's a fun take on the whole, you know, just one more level of tricky stuff. I mean, it's not on the, okay, look, I'm going to say this right up front. This is nowhere near the quality of, say, something like Cut the Rope or Fragger even. Or what's another one? Oh, Train Yard, which I love. All of those are heads and tails better games. But as a game that often goes on sale for 99 cents, it's probably okay to look at then. I wouldn't get it for $2.99. I think at $3, way overpriced.
Well, do you want to hear my take? I purchased it because you told me.
To. Yeah, what'd you think?
I liked it, but I thought the gameplay just felt too slow.
Really? Like the speed of the balls and stuff? Like
just
the physics?
The speed of the balls and the clink, 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 and the reaction to tilting the screen wasn't very, you know, reactive. Like,
how far did you
responsive.
Get? How far did you get in?
I went in a couple levels. I got to, like, you're doing the pinball stuff, and then you had the magnet thing. You know, and it was just like, yeah, it was okay.
I think that stuff gets better, and the slowness helps. Like it actually makes it more methodical and you have to be more strategic, because if it was fast, it would be really hard in some of the stuff I played later on.
Well, you know, give me something like an adjustable speed, maybe.
Choice again.
Kind of like the, what is that, train yard?
Train Yard, dude. Oh, I love Train Yard. I'm stuck, though. Mucho stuck in Train Yard.
Where are you at?
Oh, my gosh. Let's just tell you real quick, live on the show. Train Yard is, let's see. Oh, and I'm also experiencing a bug in Train Yard. I don't know what I did, and maybe if it's just a gesture and somebody could tell me what I did wrong, but I've muted the sound, and even though in the options the sound is on, I get no sound out of the game anymore. Like, it's dead silent. I feel like I
think you need to erase it and reinstall it.
I am on Western number 6. Hold on, let's see. The way they do this is kind of weird.
I'm not up there because I can't see.
It's the equate section of levels. And I'm not skipping any. You can skip them, and I'm not doing that. But I've done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8. And this would be my... So this is my 9th set of levels. And there's, what, 6 or 7 inside of those, or 18 inside, whatever it is. So I'm pretty far. At least I think I am. And I'm stuck.
I'm in Guelph. Gale.
How's that going?
Right after Fredericton.
I don't think we're saying it right.
Huh?
Oh yeah, I'm ahead of you. That's 3 levels later.
Yeah, I'm a Gelf. 2 out of 8 on Gelf.
Yeah, you got a lot more to go.
Yeah, well, I just picked it up.
The game's awesome, right?
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, I love it. I really like it. I don't have sound though, so help me with the sound. Out there.
Do you have the volume on?
Yes. Duh. I know how to do those things. Hey, look, I'm looking at them now. Options, volume, all the way. I have it turned all the way up. I have regular volume on my phone turned all the way up. I have, let's see. That's it. That's the only option you get. And it's all on. So I don't know what I did. Gestured it off or something. Anyway.
I think you need to erase it and reinstall it.
So I'm going
to
say SpongeBob Marbles and Slides at $3, not worth it.
Yeah.
At $1, maybe. Free, hell yeah. But it's okay. It's not great, but it's okay. It's better than most of these stupid throwaway, you know, Cartoon Network, Nickelodeon, ripoff, stupid apps. Right? Would you agree?
Yes.
I just broke something.
Yes. I thought you were snapping.
I did too, but it actually broke. Dang it. Anyway.
What did you break?
A big paperclip, big Mondo paperclip. You're supposed to put a bunch of paper in with. Anyway.
I think you'll survive. I think you'll be okay.
I'll be all right. I think I got it for free. Finally, in iPhones, boy, all games today. I apologize for that. Bit Trip Beat on the phone. $1.99. Weird game. Everyone's familiar with the Bit Trip games. They have like the side-scrolling thing. They're all kind of synchronized with music. They're all very, not even 8-bit. They're like, you know, freaking 2-bit Atari looking on purpose. Great techno music, great soundtracks. They're known for their soundtracks and all that. So the Bit Trip stuff is renowned and does well and been on consoles and all that. Bit Trip Beat is a phone-only development. It is put out by Namco as a publisher. And the only thing I can think of compared to it would be Pong with music. Like it's a rhythm game, but using Pong as sort of your mechanic. And I suck at it. I'm terrible at it, but I love it. I think it's great. I just wish I could get further in it. And the Bit Trip games generally are known to be very hard. So this is another in the line of Bit Trip games that lives up to that reputation. It's also available on the iPad for the same price, $2 either way. But it is not universal, which sucks. Did you get a chance to play it?
I did not.
Dang it. Because this, I really want to know what you thought of this one because of the music part. You'll have to.
I'll play it this week.
Pick it up this week. See what you think. Bit Trip Beat, $1.99. It was on sale a while ago for 99 cents. So keep your eye on it because it may go there again. It's really weird. Like you've got your. Oh, I don't know how to explain it. I kind of do, but let's say you know in Pong you've got your little bar, right? You're moving it up and down trying to hit the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this thing's playing this great techno music and sending balls over your direction. And when you hit them, it synchronizes with a song, with a melody or a beat in the game. And it's all timed that way. And sometimes a bunch of them come and sometimes they spiral in. You got to really be careful about moving. And by the way, movement is done by tilting the phone up or down, kind of like Tilt to Live does. Very similar to that. Mm-hmm. And it's just really great. Very visual, very cool. I don't love movement games where I got to do motion control, but this one kind of works for me. But I'm kind of terrible at it. I wish I was better. I've seen other people, including my own kid, play it better than me. So I know it can be done. But Bit Trip Beat, $1.99. Slappy for sure. Go check it out. And Eric, you'll have to try it.
So I tried an application for the iPhone before we move on to the iPad.
What do you got?
It's called iMutator.
iMutator.
So it's iMutator.
Oh, great. It's very street.
Very street. But what it is, it's one of those photo edit applications where you can take your face and turn it into a vampire, werewolf. It's kind of like maybe a little late for Halloween, but I discovered it like after Halloween. So, so and it's really good. It does a great job with that. You have so many different things to choose, like eyes, cheekbones, foreheads, hair, fangs, depending on what you're, you know, because you got your zombie, you got your werewolf, you got your Frankenstein. So you have a whole bunch of different things to choose from. What's great about it is every layer is adjustable by scaling it. So you can scale it so it fits your face perfectly. And also it has this cool, unique fade feature where you hit the button, you tilt your phone back and forth, and it does the fade that way. So perfectly, you can have it faded to your skin. Do you want me to send you a picture?
Yeah, do it now. Let me see my reaction. Send it now. Is it coming is it coming by email?
Would it be email or would text be better for you?
Text would be better. Look at this, folks. We're doing real-time iPhonery.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah, go for it. I'm going to turn this off so I can hear the ring.
Got you want me to tell your phone what your phone number is for everybody?
Nope, that'd be bad.
It's 801
435-555-555-1234. Like every movie you've ever seen.
It's funny, I was dialing a 1-800 number and it was 1-800-555. And I was like, is this a real 1-800?
It'd just be Bruce Willis's cell phone or something. That's awesome.
All right.
Okay, I'm waiting. Is it coming?
It's coming.
All right.
I think this was, I was playing around with the witch.
The witch?
The witch
For the templates. Okay. The witch templates, right. Got it. So far, nothing. Nothing's come over my phone. Oh, there it is. Oh, my gosh. Wow. That's impressive. Did you just take that?
Huh?
Did you just take that?
No, I did this the other day.
Oh, I thought you just did it. Ugh. Dude, I know what you're going to look like now when you're 120.
You want to show the chat room?
That's foul. Oh, yeah. Here, chat room. We'll brave the camera for a second. You see it? Dude.
It's coming up. Let's try it. There you go.
That is gnarly. Wow. Anyway. Nasty. Looking good,
so
dude.
So you can do vampire, werewolf, zombies, Frankenstein, demons. So.
Well, there you have it. Once again, Eric rocking the world.
Let me look at the price. Let me look up the price. I think it's $1.99 maybe.
So it's like those zombie apps. It sounds like a similar thing to those kind of things where you're changing faces and whatnot.
Yeah, but it's not animated or anything. It's 99 cents.
Hey.
It's a little late for Halloween, but it's a cool little photo edit application.
Totally off topic, but did you watch Walking Dead?
Hells yeah.
It was so good.
It was amazing how they stretched, the first two issues or something like that?
Yeah, basically. I don't know.
An hour and a half?
I don't know I don't know what they're going to do pacing-wise to keep up with the comic, if they even are going to try. At this stage, I don't even care, because that was really good.
Dude, I'd like they delved into Morgan's character, what they ever did in the comic book.
He was great.
Yeah, that scene when he's with a sniper rifle.
He comes back, right? Yeah, later in the books, right?
They don't want to spoil
it. Yeah, spoiler alert, but yeah, that sniper stuff was not in the books. All that stuff's great. Totally impressed. I can't believe when TV pulls off stuff, it always impresses me. AMC for the win. I don't know what those guys are doing, but they're three big shows. Mad Men, Breaking Bad, and that, they're all great. I don't know what they're doing. Anyway, AMC.
A little side note, I designed the logo at the end of Breaking Bad, by the way.
You did?
I did.
Liar.
I'm telling you, I did.
When I watch Breaking Bad and I see that logo, that's you that did that?
The Gran Via.
What?
Productions.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I know the executive producer of it, so he asked me to do it.
That's pretty wicked. I love that show. This is Malcolm in the Middle's dad, crazy on drugs and selling them.
Making meth.
Making meth every week. All right, moving on. iPads. The search for Wandla is the name of an app I want to recommend. It is free and it is available for the iPad now. It is I keep claiming to hate these, but somehow this one's working for me. And it's made by the same people that made, was it called? Oh, crap. Forgot the name of it already. I've done this before with them, a similar app, but wonderful artwork, really cool steampunk music and like robots and stuff involved in it. It's kind of a fairy tale told in a weird thing. And I can't even quite tell where this fairy tale's going. The story is really, really weird. And there's no dialogue, so I don't really know what's going on, but it's still images and it's you trying to find the differences. It's that age old thing. One half of the screen is the image. The other half looks like the same image, but and that one, the stone's not there. Or in this one, her hair is not as long. Or in this other one, she's got a bracelet on, but not in the other one. And you have to find them all. Has a hint system that works pretty well. If you're just clicking all over the screen for no reason, you just lose a ton of points. It's cool because of the art, because of the style of it. I'm really digging it. And it's free. So I wanted to make sure I got that one out there to people.
I have to check that out. I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, that one's pretty rad. I think I forgot to tell you about a couple of these.
Yes, you did. Yeah, and you're actually like, what? You didn't play this?
Like, what? You didn't? What?
What?
What the what? Respec.
Get the fridge.
Respec, also free for your iPad. It is for World of Warcraft fans. So if you're a WoW player, the developer actually let me know about this a little while ago and kind of been counting down the days. It released last Thursday. It's called Respec, R-E-S-P-E-C. That's what it means to me. Anyway, it's really great. It's a talent calculator for all these 4.0 and onward talents.
Yeah, well, very well put together. But you know, my problem is with these all these talent calculators for WoW.
What?
Like, getting on your phone and your on your. It's like what I do, how I spec is I usually go online and I look online and say, what's the best spec for what I need to do? Because those people know much more about what the talents do than what I ever would know. And I just copy those and put them into my spec. I never sit there and go, I wonder if I put a point in here, what will do for that? I don't know what it does for me.
But a lot of people do that. And to Blizzard's credit, the new talent system is a lot easier to get your head around, like what things do what.
Yeah, I understand that. But you don't know what the combination of get the most DPS out of your character, let's say.
Yeah.
Like your spec, did you figure it out all by yourself?
No. I faked it for the first couple of days. But since then, I've had people go, oh, no, this is what you want. So I went
exactly. Exactly.
But I did it. I did the recommendation on the iPad first. So I could just see, you know, like, what's all this going to be? And so I still even used it for that. I think it's, I don't know, I like it. I like it.
It's well put together. Don't get me wrong.
Especially if you're fiddling around. Let's say you're raiding. You're like, I swear I could squeeze a little extra DPS out of my pet, but I don't know how. Maybe I could beep, beep, beep. Oh, yeah, look what I did there.
But it doesn't give you any.
Well, no.
Ads or
not really, but I like it, and you can do it for every class in the game.
No, it's kind of cool. I mean, I was poking around the different classes and seeing the new talents and stuff like that. So
I felt like I needed it to make sound, though. I realize it doesn't need to, but I kept feeling like, man, this would be great if I had like WoW music going, and they never do that because you know that would cost them a lot of money and copyright issues and all that. And this is the kind of app you can't charge for because Apple or Blizzard will throw a rod and have it pulled down. Like they've shown in the past. But as a free app doing what it does, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very well put together. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying what my issues with the overall genre of application.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Also, Life Serial finally has an app. No.
No, I thought this is Life, the Parker Brother game.
Oh, it's the game of life. No. It is... It is Life magazine, this photo thing I told you about earlier, and it's awesome. Get it free. I won't review it again because I kind of already did, but it's just great. There's all these historical photos, and you can list them by popularity and list them by recently added, and you can tweet them off to your Twitter followers or mail them to your friends, and you know it's all the functionality you expect from an app like this, but it just works really well, and if you're a fan of that stuff, that's very cool. I forgot about this. They have a map view, so they'll have a bunch of pins on a map, kind of Google Map style, and you choose a pin, and it'll show all the photos related to that area from the magazine, either historical or recent. So it's pretty rad. I like it. Life Serial. Now
once
free.
Once again, reviewed on the iPad.
Once again, reviewed on the iPad. All right, well, that's it on that. How you feel about all that? That was a lot of stuff right there is what we had there. Let's move on to Update Corner. I'm not playing a jingle because I want to make a new one. I hate our one that we have now. Update Corner. Ringtone Designer Pro, 99 cents. We reviewed this on the show a couple weeks ago. It is for the iPhone. Did I say that already? I might have. In the past, it let you pull in a song from iTunes. Didn't matter where and what from. Did we ever determine if it did DRM? I don't think it did. I don't remember
if it did the what?
If it would do DRM songs, stuff that was locked down. I can't.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't like the old school DRM files like a long time ago. I mean, when Apple was like, you know, you can't. But the new stuff you buy from Apple, you can use.
Yeah.
But not the old school stuff.
Yeah, so you're good.
I used a Shatter, you know, the Shatter soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I created a ringtone with that, which I bought on iTunes.
Well, I'm going to share with you. Let's see, ringtone. Hold on. I'm going to show you why the new version's awesome. And here's why. Okay, hold on. Are you ready?
Is that you?
Listen. So I used this to make a new ringtone, and that new ringtone is this. So when people call me, actually, I think just when Eric calls me, it'll do this.
Your phone is ringing. Let me guess. Use the new microphone feature.
Correct. It has a new microphone feature. That is why it is an update corner. You can record anything in there and record up to a 40-second chunk of ringtone. That is, by the way, the maximum.
You have that only assigned to me.
Yes, currently. So when you call me, it will say that. It is pretty rad. I like it. New maximum ringtone length of 40 seconds, which I mentioned. New Retina display graphics, so it supports your iPhone 4 visually. New fine-tune arrow controls, so you can get really picky about where it starts and ends. You still do all the music functionality I mentioned before. And what else? There's something here that says, see your iTunes file sharing section to get a promo code for a free ringtone pack from relaxtones.com, which is a $4 value. So that's cool, too, if you already own this app and you're getting the update. I think even if you bought it new, you'd get it. So, cool.
The only thing I wish it had was a ability to loop the ringtone.
It does, doesn't it?
Does it?
Well, it does automatically. Because once you choose it as a ringtone...
No, no, like when you're creating it.
Right, but why would you... So what I'm saying is, let's say you do a 10-second ringtone. The end result of that is, as soon as you export it to your phone is actually using it as a ringtone, it will repeat it for you.
No, what I'm saying, when you're creating the ringtone, to have the ability to hear it looping, say like you have a beat that's your ringtone, right?
Oh, right.
And you want it to repeat the beat, but not be like offbeat type of, so it's not kind of like a...
There's no pause, right? Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That'd be nice.
Well, the way you could do that. So what you do is you make a 40-second, make it in GarageBand or Pro Tools.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying just do it in the app would be nice.
Yeah, I agree.
Nice feature in the app.
I agree. There's a way around it, but I agree. That's totally true. So anyway, there you go. Good update. If you already have that app, then good on you. If not, you should get it. It's only $1, and it's a great way to mess around with ringtones. Everyone loves to do that, I think. I think that's the thing people like to do.
They do. It's fun to make your own ringtones.
Stupid app of the week time, and someone sent this in, and I thought it was kind of awesome. So
Do we already do this one?
What, the stupid app? No, it's new.
You sure?
Yeah, positive. But check. But you haven't done this.
It's the stupid app of the week.
Is that you?
No, I don't know who sent that in. What do you mean, is that me? It didn't sound like me. It kind of does. I can do that voice. Anyway, thank you for that, whoever that was, anonymous sender. Digestive disorders is free. Now, I know what you're thinking of. We've done one similar to this. I'm bringing this one up in particular, not because I want to retread the same kind of place, because digestive disorders that is free for your iPhone is all about problems with your gut and stuff like that. That's true, and that's done.
Is this homage to me?
No. The reason that... I didn't even think about that. Okay, yes, it is an homage to you is what I meant to say. No, what I'm interested in with this app very specifically is people put screenshots with their apps to encourage you to get it, right? Like if it's a game, oh, cool, good graphics, or hey, that looks like fun, or that looks funny what I just read, or whatever. The very first screenshot they put in there is for hemorrhoids.
Nice.
I learned a little something. They're also referred to as piles, which I was not aware of up till now. It goes on to say hemorrhoids are swollen, inflamed veins around the anus or lower rectum. They are either inside the anus or under the skin around the anus. They often result in, from straining to have a bowel movement. Other factors include pregnancy, aging, chronic constipation, diarrhea, or shoving stuff up there. It doesn't say that part.
Oh my gosh.
Doesn't say that at all. Anyway, I just think it's funny. It's like it's a weird thing. Why not put Crohn's disease or freaking indigestion or something? Nope, hemorrhoids. Sell this app right away. Hemorrhoids.
Yeah, I guess that's the most common problem people have. Maybe they're like, "Oh, this is for me." But I thought you said, because I was reading the description.
Yeah.
Digestive system, series of hollow organs joined in a long twisted tube. It runs from your bottom of your mouth to your anus and but your liver, gallbladder, and your pancreas are also involved. Which I no longer have a gallbladder.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that now.
Yeah.
Now you just have a weird limp sack of nothing.
No, I don't even have a limp sack of anything. It's just completely gone.
Oh. Well, there you go then. Did you get to keep it? I can't remember.
No.
I really would. I always want to keep my stuff when I have operations. in a little jar somewhere, dude.
Like, I need a reminder of what pain and misery my gallbladder caused me.
You're feeling good, though, now.
I'm getting there.
Good. Glad to hear it. Are you back to work yet?
No, I don't go back till the 15th.
Jeez. All right. Doctor's orders, right?
Doctor's orders. All right. It's not yet.
Understood. All right. Moving on. That's our stupid app. Let's do voicemails. We got voicemails. And let's start with a app recall question.
Hey, Scott and Eric. This is Chach from Tucson, Arizona. Still love the show. And I had a question about recalling apps. I have about 300 apps that I've downloaded, and I only keep, you know, maybe 100 on my phone. And I'm imagining myself on vacation and needing one of those apps that I don't have on my phone and not near iTunes, so I can't re-load it onto the phone. So have you heard anything about there being an ability to do that, or is there something that... or a way I could do that. Derp. That was derp to the tune of Scott is a dork.
Oh, a little
it's a great call
walk down memory lane.
Yeah, a little bit.
People still talk about that.
I know. The Scott is a dork song really lived long and hard. I don't know what was special about that, but you really nailed it. Truly, truly the musician that you were meant to be.
Yes.
So, no, there's not a way to do this. What you've done is you've deleted an app from your phone, and there isn't an app that says, oh, you deleted an app, I will magically make it appear. You can re-download them, though, so that continues to be true. If you bought an app...
Why don't you just download it?
Well, I want to make this clear, because he may be saying, well, what if I'm in a place where I can't download it? And that's... I understand what he's saying, but there's no apps that are like going to hold that stuff in place somewhere in some sneaky storage that you didn't know you had or whatever. You know, you may as well just have them on the phone. It maybe conversely, what he maybe should be asking, or what I would want to ask for, would be an app that masks other apps and makes it look like they're not there. Because if the issue is that you don't want to have it all cluttered up, but you want to have them kind of behind the scenes in case you need them, having an app like that might be kind of cool that you'd, you know, click and unlock and then say, all right, well, I want to have access to such and such app, and then boop, it shows up in the menu again. Probably never going to happen because that messes with Apple's UI and whatever, but it seems like that is maybe more what you are looking for, and unfortunately, that does not exist. So there you go. Any other thoughts?
Nope.
Total recall.
Yeah, thank you. You did it well.
Oh, I covered it all.
You did it well.
What is that plus icon, asks this caller.
Hey, Scott and Eric, this is Matt from Portland. Curious as to if you know the answer to what the little plus sign is in the download button in iTunes or on your iPhone for that matter, in the upper left-hand corner where you can click and start the download, where the price might be if it's free or a buck or whatever. Some apps have that little plus sign in the upper left-hand corner, some do not. I could have looked it up, but quite frankly, if I had this question, I figured some of your other listeners might too. So thanks for your help. And derp.
Okay. It means that it's available for your iPhone and your iPad.
Means it's a universal app.
Yep. That's exactly right. Now, if you didn't have an iPad or hadn't thought about it, or I could see how that would just be this weird, obscure thing that made no sense. Like, what is that doing there? What does that mean? But that is exactly what it is. If you buy it for the iPhone, it will also be available for the iPad in a native way, not just a blow up double size way, but a real app. So if you buy Evernote, for example, or I guess it's free, but if you get Evernote, that always has a little plus symbol. That means phone and iPad, and they work great. So there you have it. Simple answer, but I realized when I got the call, I was like, there's got to be some people that have no idea what that is.
That's true.
Because Apple doesn't really explain it. It's just kind of there. I guess I get it because I don't know why I get it. Why is it that we get it? Not just because we have iPads, because there's nothing. I mean, what I'm saying is there's nothing intuitive about it, I don't think.
Well, I kind of figured it out since I was looking. You look at like apps in the App Store and it says it's a universal app and has a little plus sign.
Yeah.
And you see it. It's both fell for the the iPad has the Plus and the iPhone version has the Plus too. So I just kind of put, well, you know, one plus one together, and there you go.
All right. There you have it. Moving on to sharing schedules with your wife on iPhones.
Hey, App Slappers. This is Dean from Philadelphia. I'm calling because my wife and I both have an iPhone, and I've got my work schedule on my phone, and I want to be able to send that to her, or email it to her, or text it to her, or somehow have it connected so that she knows when I'm working, because my shifts change every day, every week. If you could help me locate that app, I would appreciate it. Thanks so much. Derp.
While there are apps that will possibly do this for you and varying degrees of success, the best recommendation I have is to use the default calendar app, but just share your Google Calendar with her, which is very easy to do. You just do that in your Google account settings, and you can set up a calendar so that your stuff you're putting in your calendar will share with hers automatically, synced across both accounts, both when you're on just a browser somewhere, but also through your phones, because you will also set up your Google calendars through your phone. And that can be updated in real time as well using that Google Sync stuff. Best direction to send you to get all of that coordinated. And I'm doing that now with my wife, so I know how this works. It totally does work. Just go to google.com, search for Google Sync, look for the iPhone stuff, and you are in. Piece of cake.
You also can, if you have a Mobile Me account, you can do the same thing by publishing your schedule.
Yep.
And then she can actually subscribe to that with on her phone or her iCal stuff, and it will sync to your phone or your iPad.
Yeah, very similar. So same if you're using Mobile Me, you can totally do that. If Mobile Me was awesome, I'd recommend it, but it's kind of poo.
I like Mobile Me.
It's all right. Dropbox has it beat.
No, I mean, but I don't use Mobile Me for that, but I use it for syncing all my contacts. You know, I add a contact to my iPhone, it's on my computer, you know, vice versa, calendar, you know, scheduling and all that kind of stuff. Mm. Also, if I lose my phone, I can find it. Lose my iPad, I can find it. I can wipe my data, you know, I can lock it, all that kind of.
You know how I feel about Mobile Me. It's been an issue. It's been a contested issue on the show since we started. I think it's garbage.
Yes, I know. Let me tell you, the whole iDisk kind of sucks. It's slow. It's archaic. Dropbox has a beat it hands down. But I just like the Mobile Me just because of the whole contacts and calendar stuff and the cool syncing over the air.
I think you like Mobile Me.
The cloud.
You like Mobile Me because
the cloud. You do not have the cloud.
Listen, you like Mobile Me because it gave you a place to put your $100 for a year. That's why. It was like a nice little place to just chuck it. You could burn it, you could flush it down the toilet, or you could give it over to Mobile Me.
Hey, I like my cloud, so. Do you have the cloud? Are you on the cloud?
I have the cloud. I use a little Dropbox cloud mixed with a little Google cloud, a little bit of other cloud, Steam cloud.
Steam cloud.
I don't know. I use a lot. Anyway. What else? One last call.
Cloud.
Trouble with video for Windows.
Good evening, Scott and Eric. This is Gus from Rockford, Illinois. And my question is, I have a video which I shot with my iPhone 4. It's 2 hours long. It's about 3 gigs in size. And normally, when you connect an iPhone to Windows with the USB, you can use it as it recognizes it as a camera. And you can copy the videos or the photos from it. But when I tried to copy this 3 gig video using the Windows Explorer camera deal, it would create a file on the hard drive, but it would not copy. It would just be a blank file, and it wouldn't copy. You think it's a limitation of the iPhone or of Windows that it's just the file's too big? Derp.
Okay.
That was an unexpected ending.
Well, I kind of edited it for time. It was almost 3
minutes. Oh, did you? Yeah,
that was huge. It was huge, but it was a really good call, so I just chopped it down a little bit because it's an interesting point. I did a whole bunch of research on this and found out that this is a known bug on both sides of the aisle. the Microsoft people know and Apple knows, and nobody's got an answer for it. That's the weirdest thing, is nobody's coming up with a way to say, well, the next phone will be patched and it'll support it or whatever. There really isn't a nice way to do this. Anything under 200 megabytes for most users, from what I can tell, and all the threads I've read, are not having a problem. But when you get up to, like, you know, a gigabyte worth of video, which isn't hard if you're doing 720p video, for whatever reason, there is a bug where Windows will not allow you to pull it over. And people on Macs are not having this problem at all. Some people have figured out that if you're using the iPhone version of iMovie, that you can knock your resolution down to 520 pixels wide, or tall, I guess. Not wide. What is it with 720p? Is it wide or tall? It doesn't matter. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Whatever the Sony...
720p is the width.
Yeah, if that's width, then change it to 520p, basically. 520 pixels wide, and then they're able to move it over, even if it's a bigger file, which is weird. I will fully admit. If you ask me, it's an Apple problem, and they need to patch it. They need to fix it for their Windows users, because that's goofy as crap. But nobody on the Mac's having trouble with that. So whatever, for whatever that's worth, there's...
So what I... this, you could do this. Get a friend who has a Mac.
Yeah.
Copy it over onto their Mac and throw it up on Dropbox or a disk.
You know why he doesn't want to do that? Because what? He doesn't want to deal with some "I told you so" Mac person. You know, like, he's going to go over to his buddy's house and go, "Oh, yeah, if you had a Mac, you wouldn't have to derp a derp a derp." And he just wanted to, like, punch the guy.
Derp a derp a derp.
Just a thought.
I'm sorry. That always reminds me of that South Park.
And I, you know what? They just don't have an equivalent to, oh, the derp a derp, that one.
Oh, yeah. What's the, if you liked, what's that guy's name, the actor?
Who, Trey Parker? Who?
You can do it.
Oh, who's that guy? The guy that does stuff.
Chat room. Who's that guy? You can do it.
You can do it. He's in all those movies with Adam Sandler. Yeah, it's he used to do the
giraffe. I can see his face.
Making copies guy. That guy.
Oh, you're Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider. That's it.
If you like Rob Schneider, you'll love him as a carrot. Derp a derp a derp.
Oh, man. Do you think that's where Scott Fletcher got derp from?
I don't know.
He might have. I don't know. I don't know if it's original or not. Scott, if you're listening, let us know. Because, all right. That's it on calls. We did get an email we'd like to read today. This came to us from...
Dude, we didn't get a lot of emails.
I have tons of backlog emails. We did too. What are you talking about? We got a ton.
There's not... No, I'm talking about tons of memos, but like real like...
Oh, emails. Yeah.
Like you like... typewritten emails. It's mostly voicemails.
Yeah, we got a lot of voicemails. We get those. I don't know. That's fine with me. I like it either way. But by the way, chat room, you want to hang around because I have something to give you at the end of the show. One of you in this room tonight will win free $10 gift certificate on iTunes. We'll send you a code. $10. Spend it on whatever you want. Whatever you want. Sky's the limit. Comes to us via a fan of the show, Steve Swanson, who has donated this card. And hang around and you'll win. We're going to pull you at random. Okay, email. Lance Joshlin wrote in, says, "Love the show, Scott and Eric. Got a question, though. I've been digging through the App Store and Google, but can't find what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a decent photo management app for my iPhone 4. I'm wondering if you guys have already made or have an app in mind. I'd like it to be non-destructive to the metadata of the pic, such as GPS coordinates, etc. I would like the main function of the app to be creating different folders in-app to import pics from the camera roll, so I don't have, so I won't have a completely disorganized mess when I go looking for pics. Preferably completely offline and local to the device, as I already got various apps such as Flickr, but I don't want to wait for pics to load over our slow edge network around here. Thanks for any suggestions." Derp. Eric, you're on the show. You're a co-host. You love photos. You do a lot of stuff. What do you recommend for this sort of thing?
On the iPhone, I'm not too sure.
iPhone. He says yeah. iPhone 4.
I did review Flexfolios way back for the iPad. Mm. I don't know if they have an iPhone version, but what Flexfolios pretty much do, you could organize your photos into different folders, and it kept everything local storage.
How did you like the interface and stuff? Did that work good?
It was okay. Yeah, it was bad. It was not bad. And you know, had you could do custom backgrounds. It's pretty much for like photographers who want to show off their work, you know, put their photos and organize their photos in portfolios and be able to display them and do things like that. But it pretty if you're looking for a photo organization thing, it does that. Yeah. Also, but I don't know if there's an iPhone version because you know showing your photos on an iPhone isn't really conducive to showing photos. But they did have an iPad version. But on the iPhone, I don't know too many.
All right. Well, I know of one that I haven't used, so I'm going to give it to you with the knowledge that I've not used it, so I can't really speak to its quality, but they have been updating it, and that's always a good sign for apps for me, is when I see a lot of sort of brand new version, has these new features, that kind of stuff's great. It is called My Photo Albums, and it's 99 cents. It also has the feature of being able to push stuff straight to Facebook and Twitter, but it also has the ability to import photos from your photo library already on the phone and organize them as you see fit. It supports the Retina display, added GPS service stuff, does not destroy metadata, according to everything I'm reading here, and has decent reviews. So I think you should check it out. It's My Photo Albums. Photos, video, Facebook, Twitter, and more.
Well, there you go. Scott had the answer.
Video as well. Well, I don't know if I really have the answer, because I don't know. I haven't used it. But it's only $1, so I may try it just because that seems... You know, seems kind of cool. What I really wish is Apple would make a more full-featured photo management system. Because right now it's just kind of bah.
Yeah, I think they just expect you to like organize everything in iPhoto and then sync it to your phone.
That's lame.
Especially you don't have anything you can do on the fly on the phone.
Especially Windows users. That's dumb. They should just do their folder system right there in the iPhone or right there in that app. Why not?
They have it for email. Why not do it for the photos?
When can we find out when that 4.2 is coming out? Do we know that? Oh, I want to know
this month. Supposedly he said November.
I know, but I want to know when.
It's November.
Let's see. Submissions 4.2. When for?
I heard it went gold. So.
Oh, really? Well, they're not really going gold technically, right?
Well, that's what I saw on Twitter saying the 4.0 whatever for iPad has gone gold.
All right. Well, I'm pretty excited for that. All right, so watch for that. It says November, and somebody, I'm just reading some updates here. Yeah, there's no date. Soon, though, I hope. Thank you for the email. Once again, those emails and those audio calls came to us via our email address, which is appslappy@gmail.com. 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 Okay, we have a contest. Two contests. One that we're going to give away to the chat room, the other one to regular listeners. The first one is, we'll do the chat room first. Steve Swanson donated $10 on iTunes to anyone who will use the code that is in the chat room right now. And I'm going to choose your name at random. The problem is, let's see, how do we look at their names? Oh, yeah, there we go. And I'm going to pick it at random. So, Eric, you ready? I'm just going to blindfold myself and poke. So here we go. Eyes are closed. Here, chat room, I'll prove it so you can see me. Eyes are closed, and I'm just going to point. And my finger's going to be closest to Cashel. We know Cashel.
We do know Cashel.
Longtime fan and friend of the show. So, Cashel, you are random. Congratulations. You win.
I don't know. Does it work? Does it work in Canada?
I don't know. That's a good question, actually. I think so.
Let's see.
Yeah, I think so. She'll let me know if not. But Cashel, send me an email, and I'll pop this off to
you. I don't think she's even in the chat. I think she's went idle. I don't see her. Yeah, no, she's like, what? She's what? There. What did I win?
You won $10 on iTunes, Cashel. So send me an email. You're the random winner.
She wasn't even listening.
Right. I don't know. Maybe she's falling asleep.
Congrats, Cashel.
She's right there, dude. Doesn't matter. She wins. She wins. I'm nothing but if not fair. So, send your stuff and we'll get you hooked up. $10 free. Thank you, Steve Swanson, for that. One more little note of a contest. Next week we'll be awarding a Highborn. Remember the game Highborn?
I do.
iPad, iPhone. Autographed photo and one promo code for a regular version and one promo code for the HD version. So I'm actually going to give this thing away to three lucky winners. The autograph photo is one, the promo code for iPhone, and one promo code for HD version. Those are two more. Three people next week. Here's what you have to do. In the comments for this episode, I want you to tell us why you think you should win Highborn Swag. And next week, we will pick one of you, and we'll announce it on the show and get that off to you. That comes to us from Chris Pope at techjives.net. Thank you, Chris Pope, for donating those items. Very cool. The Highborn autograph photo is from the developers. That's pretty rad. They say rad a lot lately.
You're stuck in the 80s again.
It's happening. It's happening. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, there's your contest. In closing today, I want to thank our friends who leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes. We've got some great reviews this week. Lance J, 556 Lineman, and Kramzanuo, I think is how you say his name. Okay. Thank you guys for your 5-star reviews. Really appreciate those. Keep those coming. We'd love to hear what people think right there on iTunes. And that's going to be about it. I should probably tell people to use, if you're going to use GoDaddy, you may as well save money. I mean, holy crap. We have codes for this. App One will save you money on domains, hosting, and more. Renewals are cheaper. Everything's cheaper with these codes. App One, App Two, and App Three are the codes. So use those at GoDaddy.com. Don't forget to visit us on the website. That's appslappy.com. The email address, once again, is appslappy@gmail.com. And, of course, we can be found on Twitter, twitter.com/appslappyshow, as well as Eric is at Hokkaido and I'm at Extra Life. And I think that's going to do it. Eric, parting thoughts, Eric. Anything you have to say? Anything of important note?
The cloud.
Oh, the cloud. That's the word of the day. The cloud.
The cloud.
So stay on your cloud. We'll see you guys next week for show 67. Until then, take care.
Oh, later.
Oh my gosh. Dude, just use one thing at the end.
Thank you for listening to App Slappy. For more great iPhone, iPod, and App Store coverage and archives of this show, visit appslappy.com.
Hey, Scott, how you doing? This is Kim Johnson, yeah, from down the way. Hey, look, I wanted to clear this up here. That whole sex offender thing, yeah, that was a big misunderstanding. They were only in the basement a little while, I'm telling you. Hey, I really like that app Eric was talking about there where you take pictures of the kids. Yeah, yeah, I really like that app. For Halloween, right? Yeah, hey, for Halloween, I was going to dress up like a piece of candy. What do you think? Oh, hey, I'm looking for a job. I'm a professional babysitter. Anyway, love the show there. Derp. Man.
Hey, Scott and Eric. It's Ben from Houston. I was just calling in response to your caller this week that I was wondering about duplicate contacts. I myself had this problem as well on my phone. I'd have 5 or 6 contacts duplicated for every single person. And I think it stemmed from the fact that I started out syncing with my computer, and then I added syncing with Google Contacts, and then later started syncing with Exchange over Gmail, and now I have Exchange over Gmail for work, so I have 2. And long story short, I bought an app called Groups. I think it was $5.99, but it was well worth it. I could easily go in and check off a bunch of contacts and say merge them. So if if Exchange contact on one record had a phone number that my Gmail didn't have, it would merge the two. And just overall, really recommend it. Called Groups, and pick that up if you're interested in cleaning up your library. And then once you're done, make sure and decide on your syncing strategy and just pick one system of record and sync with that, and you'll be better off for good. Thanks for the show, guys. Derp.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.